Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Having experience these days is priceless. More than 400,000 design projects have passed through the doors at 99 Designs. That is expertise. Visit 99designs.com/hack and get a $99 upgrade of services absolutely free.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me yet again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a marketing expert, a bass player, and an entrepreneur. He is the creative director of Connective, a marketing firm that focuses on developing business identities and providing customers with a great experience via websites, graphic design, and social media. My guest is self-described as the brains behind this operation as he develops strategies and marketing campaigns to ensure the success of Connective's clients. He is also the owner of Commonwealth on Queen, a farm-to-fork cafe. Now, let's hack. Mark Rhinemiller. I want to take a moment to thank today's awesome sponsor, 99 Designs, the best place for new businesses to build their brands. Do you need help getting a logo or website for your business or next project, but don't know where to get started? Are you worried about the budget? Well, 99 Designs can help you. 99 Designs is the world's largest graphic design marketplace. It makes it easy to get a design you love. Just go to the website, tell them about the design you need, and pick a price package that works for you. Then the fun really begins. Designers from around the globe will submit awesome designs and you'll give them feedback. Within a week, you'll pick your favorite and be the proud owner of a gorgeous new design. With thousands of designers at your fingertips, there is no limit to what you can get designed. So what is it that you need? Boost your brand's visibility with a t-shirt or drive more traffic with a sleek new banner ad or landing page? Projects start at just $199 and your happiness is always 100% guaranteed. When you're ready to bring your brand to life, visit 99designs.com/hack. As a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you'll get a free $99 upgrade to use on your first design. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have somebody I've wanted to speak to for a long time, and I'm glad I get to now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too. I think I'm feeling good about it, and I think that this is going to be a good interview that you're probably going to have to edit down and keep me quiet, I think, is probably what's going to happen.
No, not at all. This is cool. And this is actually, I'll use this part. I was going to put this in the intro, but I'll do it now. This is a good, I think, lesson for anybody, because you and I, as far as I remember, we've met through Facebook.
Yes.
Through this show and then through Facebook, and just talking constantly, and you like trying to help me do stuff that I'm usually too busy and flustered to try and get help with. And then just it's hit up a relationship, and now you're on my show. That's awesome. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me and keep reaching out to me. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting for me as well. Like on this side, you know, I've been listening to the podcast, I think, since it started, or at least really close to when it started. And so it's been a really awesome thing to be a listener and see the growth. And then now to, you know, to be chatting with you and be on the inside a little bit is really cool too.
Yeah. And now we get to see how you answer these questions. Let's jump into this.
All right.
All right, Mark, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing, wow, that, I mean, that is a tough question. And you'd think that after all the times I've listened to your podcast, I'd have like this like scripted response, but that is a tough question. And I think, you know, like a lot of guests, I answer the same way. Like, I don't know if there is one thing that I do well, and I'm trying to think like what I would narrow it down to. If we had like a really long time, I think I could talk a lot longer about the things I don't do well as an entrepreneur. It's probably a longer story. I don't know. As the one thing, I think I kind of have like, I guess maybe it's like a two-pronged thought, but it's like one thing. It's kind of like that old cliche that ignorance is bliss. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that I'm ignorant, but I don't, you know, maybe I'm not aware enough when I should slow down or when I should maybe change course or give up or something along those lines. And I think that at times that's definitely a negative thing. But I can look back over my long history of trying to do things and see definite spots where that was a strength. Like, you know, maybe I should have stopped doing this or stopped doing that, or maybe I should have changed course, but I was just too, you know, stubborn to do that. So I made it to the next section of that journey by not stopping maybe when I quote unquote should have. I think that's one of it, that's part of it, you know, that I think is maybe how I ended up here, I guess.
Nice. Ignorance is bliss.
I think so. I think it is.
I think you're absolutely right in the sense that if you knew how hard it was when you were going to start any sort of project or anything you wanted to do to put out into the world or a business, if you knew the ups and downs, the highs and the lows before every single one of them, there's no way anybody would ever start a business.
Yeah, I think there's definitely there's a lot of validity to that. I will say one thing though, and I guess it's part of my like partial Italian background, is the sometimes when I do know how challenging it is, that I'm like, oh really? Oh, you think I can't do this? I guess I have to now. There are some times when that happens too. So that's where that stubborn ignorance comes in, I guess.
That's cool. I like that. And I thought maybe your one thing would have been, I mean, exactly how you got on this show, which is you did outreach, you built a relationship, and you just offered over and over and over again to do stuff for me.
Yeah.
And for my show without expecting anything in return.
Well, maybe that's not out of line with my ignorance is bliss, because I guess you could say most people would be like, I'm going to go out on a live once and I'm going to talk to somebody. And if I don't get anything out of that, then I'm done. And maybe they would move on and try to build another connection or whatever. But I think over the years, I've really just focused on always connecting. I mean, I think that's a good point that you kind of see, not even just listening to your show, do I get introspection? I get to just get it while I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I think it is, you know, blissful to be ignorant to that degree. Like I just keep doing what I enjoy doing. And I guess connecting and networking with people is really a huge part of that. I mean, that goes all the way back to, I think one of the first times you and I talked, I mentioned that, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting is your background in music. Well, I started, you know, my adult career, I guess, as a musician. And ever since then, I think I have always stuck with that idea of like, you're building a community, no matter what you're doing, and you're networking with people and you're creating things with people. So getting along with people and figuring out how to get in touch with people is unbelievably important to the success of anything.
Yeah. Exactly. And I actually want to go back. I wonder if Facebook would let me go back all the way to the very first time you ever like reached out to me, because
I think so.
Not because I'm anybody, but I get quite constantly on Facebook people just like sending me a direct message of, and it's 99% of the time I don't even respond ever to that first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such an ask, and ask like, I don't even know who you are, and you're
right,
asking me to. You know
what
I mean?
Pretty personal, yeah.
Yeah, but there are definitely people like you who do it properly, and it just becomes a relationship. It's like, wow, he's not just trying to take stuff. He's just telling me something either that he liked or showing me something or just, I don't know, or trying to help.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And not that you just have to help people all the time, and I don't just expect people to want to do stuff for me, but it's if you met somebody in real life, you would be human and build a real relationship with them. You wouldn't just, hey, can you do this for me? It's like,
exactly.
Who are you?
Yeah. I mean, I guess people do that, but it never really works out well. But yeah, I agree. It's just, you know, I think even early on, the first couple episodes I listened to, I think I just literally was like, just listen to this great podcast. And I think I mentioned it in my tweet and you responded right away. And so even on the other side, I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, like somebody who's doing this is paying attention to what's happening around what it is that they're doing. And I think that I thought that was cool because that resonates with me. Like even on the level of what I do, I'm constantly paying attention. I'm constantly trying to be aware of what's going on around me. So I think that's part of what piqued my interest was that it wasn't just this outpouring of information about entrepreneurs. To me, early on, it was this genuine thing of like, this guy is genuinely talking about entrepreneurs, interested in how it works. And he's like concerned about it enough to be paying attention to what else other people are saying. So I think that there was something there that kind of piqued my interest.
And I'm obsessed with Twitter.
Yeah, well, yeah, once you got to watch, it's like a black hole once you start. And
It is. And I am genuinely absolutely interested in entrepreneurs and also why they become them. So
yeah,
let's talk about this, Mark, because there's this time in every entrepreneur's life, right? They realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world and make a difference, or they find they simply cannot work for somebody else. Can you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when you discovered this about yourself?
Another great question that I've heard a lot of other people talk about, and I don't know that I've ever figured out for sure myself. I think I'm more along the lines of like, can't work for someone else. And I remember other guests saying this, that it sounds bad to say that. Like, it's not that I can't work for somebody else. Of course, I've had jobs, but at this point, I've never had a full-time job at the age I'm at. I think that sometimes that's either impressive or scary. I don't know. It's one of the two. But I've never really had a full-time job because I don't know. The whole idea of like doing something for somebody else the way they said I should do it all day was, I don't know if I just avoided it because it was just sounded horrible or what. I mean, it wasn't that I was afraid of working, because early on, like I said, when I was a musician and I was in a band, I mean, you don't make any money doing that at the beginning. So I had to make money. So I remember at one point I was working three part-time jobs instead of one full-time job. And that seemed totally normal to me because it worked better for me. At one point I was getting up at like 6 a.m. to go to a beer distributor to load skids full of like beer cases. Then I'd go to a local like pizza shop restaurant over lunch and work in the kitchen. And then I'd go to a local bank and work a couple hours in the afternoon. So to me, it made all this sense when I had friends that were just like, why don't you get one job where you work 8 hours and just do that? And that did not make sense to me. So I think it was a little bit of the not working the way a lot of other people worked, or at least not being able to find a way to be comfortable doing that,
Yeah, totally. And the flexibility, obviously, of having part-time jobs rather than full-time.
Yeah.
Full-time,
yeah.
They typically want you Monday to Friday this time.
Yep, exactly.
And so
the odd part was, I guess, during that time, I really did mostly work Monday to Friday. That was the weird thing, I guess, for some of my friends, is I was working during the normal hours. At the time, I think I thought, oh, maybe I'm just lazy and I just only want to do the same thing for a couple hours at a time. But at the time, that also allowed me a lot of flexibility to think about the things I wanted to think about. So if I only have to work like stacking beer cases for a couple hours, but I can think the entire time about the band or what we're going to do, and same thing then over a lunch hour working in the kitchen, I think there was part of that too, that I was able to continue to be moving and be shifting from one thing to the next, made it easier for me to kind of focus on what I really was excited about, Whereas if I had to sit at a desk for 8 hours, I probably would have lost it.
That's the simple answer right there.
Yeah,
I probably would have lost it.
Yeah.
But is there times, even recently, when you sometimes just wonder or wish that you were not the guy that had all the weight sort of on your shoulders and you could just go home and just not think about it? And
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, at this point, yes, I don't know. Like, I don't think I mentioned this, but so I have my business now, Connective, and I'm also part owner in another business with my wife, which is a cafe, a catering business and event space here in town. So beyond the one business, we have this second business we started, and absolutely more now than ever, I have those like quiet moments in the car when I just look in the rearview mirror at myself and I'm like, are you crazy? What is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And then, when you get home and my wife kind of has the same look on her face, like, what are we doing? And so, yeah, there's times when we just wish, and I just wish, it's like, I just wish I could focus on maybe doing a couple things rather than doing a couple things, figuring a couple more things out, managing a couple people to do a couple things and all those things. So yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, but it's a challenge I guess I took on, but yeah, I have those moments.
Wow. So you have Connective.
Yeah.
And Connective is what?
Connective is a marketing agency, and our focus really is on identity and experience design, which is a little term we like to use because it helps us understand kind of what we're trying to focus on. And what I mean by that is, creating an exciting and engaging identity for a business, a brand, an organization, both online and in the real world, but then being able to help them craft experiences that people interested in what they do can have that are like congruent with their identity. So that goes anything from, you know, helping a band develop their name, their identity, their logo, their style guide, how they look online, to the type of website they have, to their social media presence, to print materials, t-shirts, you name it, like all kinds of things. Anything that falls under there, we feel it falls into two different categories, either the identity of an organization or the experiences that organization is creating for people that they want to connect with.
That sounds awesome. Now I'm wondering what the thought process was for you to take that business, keep that business running, and then start a cafe.
I think I probably fell and hit my head was the process.
That's a good answer.
This will be the longest episode you ever had if I just keep chatting about all this stuff, but I'll try to summarize it. So my wife and I met years ago, and she's always had a really, really great, I don't know, just way with food. And it was just something that I was always excited about when I met her. I love eating and she loves making food. And she's just, I always thought she was really talented with it. And she had worked at a lot of local restaurants here and in her hometown, you know, both front of house, back of house. And when we dated, we used to just go out to places all the time and talk about, oh, you know, this place, you know, here's what we like about this place, here's what we don't like. And over the years, we would just talk about like having our own place. And fast forward a couple of years, we actually were in a position where there was a space available that had been a cafe. And there were some other people involved at that time that brought up the idea like, hey, what if we open a cafe? You know, and I guess I looked at myself and thought, yeah, I have a few free minutes here and there every 3 weeks. So why don't I do something else? I presented it to my wife as an idea. And I said, you know, hey, you know, these friends of ours at the time were thinking about this. And they said, you know, what do you think? And my wife's like, oh, I guess that would be interesting. Let's give it a shot. And as many people do, we learned very quickly that it's not nearly as easy to do a partnership when you start something as it is to just do it yourself. So within about a few months of starting that, we ended up finding ourselves pretty much in it alone and had to make a decision right then and there. Are we going to continue doing this by ourselves, or are we going to shut down and just walk away? And we just decided to keep going. And, you know, that's what felt right in our guts. It was not what we had signed up for, or what we had envisioned, but we just decided to do it. And it just felt right. We felt like had we not kept going, we would have been more frustrated and, you know, not happy in the long run. We didn't know if it was going to work, but we just knew that giving up at that point would have not been something we could like go to bed at night with, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know if that answers your question of how we decided to do it, but that's how it ended up happening to us.
You just went for it.
We just did. We just went for it. I mean, the short version of that is that, you know, we had talked about those types of things. We had talked about maybe getting into restaurant field and things like that, not because we thought it was going to be easy, but just because it was something we both enjoyed. And then when the opportunity presented itself, we said, let's go for it. And then we spent the last 2 years learning how to do it better every day.
Wow, that long you've been doing it. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's 2 years actually next month.
And so no partners?
Nope. Just me and my wife.
Right. That's awesome. So, yeah. And it's cool because I like the way that worked, that you probably wouldn't have started it then, maybe at all at this point yet, without those partners. But then immediately almost it was discovered that, okay, these partners aren't going to work and you had to.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was interesting how it happened. I mean, like it's one of the, I think this goes back to my initial point of maybe that my one thing is being just so ignorant or stubborn, because I think a lot of people in a situation like that, I mean, at that point, we hadn't even really opened when we started to know that things were not really going to go well. So a lot of people probably would have been like, let's just cut our losses. Why even bother? Because of how challenging a restaurant is and that whole industry. Now, here you are before you're even out there and with your neck on the line. And yeah, you've invested a little bit of your time and energy and money and all those things. But if you haven't really gone so far as to go in the hole deep and anything like that, you could walk away at the beginning. And I think maybe that's my point. Some people probably would have, and maybe should have, I guess, but I was just like, let's just do it. And once we decide to do it, then we're going to keep doing it until we can't, you know? So for better or for worse, I think that that's helped me survive, I guess, with whatever it is I've chosen to do so far, whether it be the band, whether it be Connective, whether it be this new venture, the cafe.
That's awesome. Just relentless ignorance and bliss. Yeah.
There you go.
I love it.
I think relentless ignorance is probably what I would hopefully see on my tombstone someday. Here lies Mark Reinmiller, relentlessly ignorant. I think there's probably a number of people that would probably say, man, you pegged him.
That's awesome. And it's necessary. And I'm glad that you have that.
Yeah.
And so we keep going back to this ignorance is bliss, right? And this is your one thing. But then there's this whole 80-20, right?
Yeah.
Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Mark, tell me something you are absolutely not good at in your business.
Oh, man. Wow. I think I have to say that the things I am not good at in my business are many. And it's only as of late that I'm learning to become really comfortable with that and trying to even delegate. So A, I'm terrible at delegating. So that's one thing I'm not good at. Two is, you know, just being like thorough and detail oriented, which is challenging when you're going to do some of the things I've decided to do. So those two things are just not my strengths. And I think I'm also learning, you know, now that you asked that question, I'm actually thinking maybe my one thing is learning how to be successful in spite of all the things I'm not good at. That's because there's a lot of things I'm not good at and I keep learning that, but I somehow figure out a way to make it work anyway. So those things really are the things that really plague me is delegation and then kind of like organization and follow through. Those things seem to always be a struggle for me.
Nice. And I think you nailed it, Mark. It's knowing what you're not good at, right? This is Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, he has an amazing video about it that I've linked to numerous times.
Yeah.
And it's about self-awareness. And this self-awareness is not just figuring out that one thing that you're good at. Really, the reason why I like that is because usually there is only just one thing and that we're really good at. Maybe a couple things we're okay at and the rest we're terrible at as entrepreneurs. And I think that most of us I think we're not confident enough to step up and be cool with that, be okay with the fact that, damn, I don't know how to do most things. I'm terrible at most things.
Yeah.
But I'm really good at one or two.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. I guess that even played into early on, like that whole whether I was going to work for somebody else or myself. If I'm completely honest, it's probably a good portion of that feeling when I was young of like, I don't think I'm good enough to do anything else. Like, why would I put myself in the position to be clearly ousted as somebody who's not good? And I have certain jobs that I worked part-time and I didn't last very long and it just either wasn't me or whatever. So I think I always thought, well, maybe I don't have the skills to do this, that, or the next thing. So it was this weird thing in my head where like, I'm going to have to do my own thing. And that's why I just kept doing that, you know?
Yeah. And then you have to do it confidently or as confidently as you can.
Yeah.
And be confident even in the thing, your shortcomings, the things you're no good at, you have to confidently be not good at them.
Exactly. And that's a new thing for me. I'm working on that now. I'm working it with a friend of mine who runs a training system called Sandler Training. And it's like a management training. And that's one of the things that I'm actually really getting out of that. And it's great. And it's, you know, I'm really starting to try to come to terms with that and saying, I'm really not good at this. And I'm more than okay with that.
Nice. That was Sandler Trainings?
Sandler Training is the program. The guy that I work with, his name is Greg, and his business is Thinkbox, but the program is a Sandler management training program.
Cool. I will try and link to that for people so they can track it down.
Nice.
Okay. This has been a lot of fun, Mark. I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Now we got to end on the entrepreneurial gap. So you've spent your whole life in music like me and then working a bunch of part-time jobs like myself and then just sort of fumbling into businesses. And it's awesome. It's a great journey. But oftentimes, right, we are always dreaming big and looking forward, setting new goals. When your cafe starts doing this in 6 months, you'll be successful.
Right.
And then before you even get there, you set bigger, loftier goals for yourself. And we're never quite there. So I would love right now, Mark, if you could stop, turn around, look back at everything you've done in this whole crazy entrepreneurial journey of yours, and just look at the ups and the downs of it, what you've learned, what you've accomplished so far till now, and tell me how you feel about it.
Yeah, that's always one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. You're always kind of in the middle of it, and you're never really looking around. You're always looking forward and trying to figure out where the next move is or whatever. But I guess that's something I'm trying to work on too. So yeah, looking back now, there's definitely things I'm very proud of and I am happy with it. And I think it's harder to get to that point than most people think, or most people struggle to do that. I struggle with it too. But you know, I really tried to, and I'm not just saying this, I do think that listening to Hack And hearing you ask that question over and over and over has helped me think about that more often. You know, I look at being an entrepreneur or just self-employed as something where you have to be committed to learning more about yourself all the time and growing all the time. And that's something I'm really trying to learn, because I am one of those like, well, when I get here, then I'll get, you know, I'll be, you know, all the way back to the band. You know, we're going to get signed, or we're going to do this, or, you know, it was playing coffee shops, but then we're playing bars, and then we're playing bars, we're playing clubs. And, you know, I look back now and yeah, it was awesome to do some of the things we did. You know, we got to travel up and down the East Coast, and we got to play packed clubs and all that fun stuff. And it was great. And at the time, I felt like we had to keep reaching. But looking back, I'm like, wow, that was awesome. And same thing with the cafe, or even, you know, Connective now. I mean, it's been a journey. And but where we're at right now, I'm like really happy with, and the business is really just starting to hum along, and the cafe is picking up speed. And so, yeah, I'm really comfortable with that. You know, I think, am I overly comfortable? No, because then I wouldn't keep going. But
exactly,
you know, but I have enough now. And I think I'm starting to really learn how to put that into perspective, because I think it's important. I think, you know, from listening to different people talk or reading things, you always see that you have to have some sort of balance. There has to be some sort of balance between what you're doing as a human being and as a professional. And I think it's probably one of the hardest things to do. And so I think that's part of the phase I'm in now, is learning how, if I want to keep doing this, if I want to keep growing, I guess I'm at the point where my youthful vigor is not necessarily my biggest strength anymore. So I have to have like patience and, you know, perseverance and perspective to get through. So
nice.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And yeah, I love it, man. I love that you're becoming aware of this, and it's not just you that is obviously succumbs to this. We all, that's what makes us entrepreneurs.
I think
makes us dreamers.
Yeah, exactly.
And oftentimes makes us musicians.
Yeah. I think
we're always,
I've noticed that common thread too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. So this has been a lot of fun. We've talked about Connective and your cafe in passing. Mm-hmm. Can you specifically tell the listener where to find both of your businesses?
Oh, sure. We're pretty present on all the platforms. So you can go to, you know, Facebook, Instagram, and find us there. The one business is Connective, and that's spelled K-I-N-E-C-T-I-V. Our website is getconnective.com. And the cafe is called Commonwealth on Queen. We're on Queen Street here in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And you can find us at commonwealthonqueen.com.
Awesome. Commonwealth on Queen and getconnective.com.
Yep. And we're on Facebook and Instagram. You can find both of us, both of those businesses on those platforms pretty easily as well.
Very cool. Mark, thank you so much again for joining me.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for being relentless and reaching out to me constantly and coming onto the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And yeah. Please keep doing what you're doing, because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And it was definitely a great, great opportunity to chat with you. And I look forward to listening to many more episodes coming up.
Very cool. Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny.
Mark, thank you so much for joining me. I really, truly mean that. And it's so cool. You are a listener. You tracked me down. We've struck up a relationship via Facebook and Twitter and email. And yeah, it's really cool what you're doing. I love the online and offline world. Well, I wouldn't start the offline side myself anymore. I'm strictly online because I love the freedom it allows me, but I admire it, man, and it's really, really cool. And I'm so glad that I finally got to talk to you. So you're listening to Mark out there, and I'm thinking that you can probably relate to a lot of things he is going through and his thought processes as he's working out his business, especially looking back on it now and figuring out what he has done, what he's done right, what he's done wrong. And I have these notes, like I always do. Also, with these notes, I thought of this today while doing an interview. And it wasn't with Mark, though. It was with another one. But it's actually coming out next week, I believe. Totally irrelevant tangent. But still, I had this idea. So I have these notes that I keep. I've created this PDF, and I got like potential hack times, and then notes of links, but then all these notes of things people are saying and potential titles I could use, just things that really stick out to me in the conversation. And I was thinking today, I should take a photo of these with my phone and publish them with show notes. I wonder if that would be of any value to you. I think that it would, but I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe if you're listening to this If you think that that would be cool, my chicken scratch idea is literally my thought process during the conversation and what really stands out to me and my sort of elaborations on it. I don't know if that's any value. Just please let me know. I would love to hear it. And if it is, then I will start actually posting these with the show notes. I have them, I think, literally back to my very first one. I just haven't been able to get rid of any of them yet. They're kind of they're neat for me to read, and I think they might be for you too. So I don't know. Let me know via Twitter, email, however you want to do it. You could write me a letter if you want. You probably don't have my address unless you're on my email list. If you're on my email list, then there's actually a spot at the bottom that has my address in it, and you could actually just email it to me. It'd be weird, though. It'd be weird to get a letter from you. All right, I have to stop because I went through this conversation and I'm going through these notes, and Mark said a lot of smart things, a lot of really, really cool and interesting perspectives on business and on his business. Yet there's one thing that sticks out, just that one thing that I keep coming back to. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
You know, now that you asked that question, I'm actually thinking maybe my one thing is learning how to be successful in spite of all the things I'm not good at. That's because there's a lot of things I'm not good at, and I keep learning that, but I somehow figure out a way to make it work anyway.
And that's the hack. Mark, you have nailed it right there. This is my thought process even behind asking, what is your one thing, and then what are you not good at? I think you have to know what you're really good at, or at least what you feel you're really good at. And I also agree even more so that you have to know what you're not good at, and know that in spite of all of it, exactly like you say, that you can still be successful and build awesome businesses. Nobody is good at everything. Nobody is good at even a bunch of things. We're all good at one or two things that we're really good at. And then the rest is we're basically good at letting go and being comfortable with being uncomfortable in the moment and just pushing ahead and enjoying the journey. That's it. So you've absolutely nailed it. And I love that you answered this question and then thought of going back and changing your original. Just the fact that you're thinking about that in that self-awareness moment, that it is, that's to me showing me that you are going to go on to even bigger and even better things. And I can't wait to see what you do. Mark, that was awesome. Thank you very, very, very much. All right. That was fun. I had a little bit of a rant and a digression before the hack, so I won't push it too much for you now. But I do truly, truly, truly appreciate that you're out there listening. I love the feedback that I'm getting from you via Twitter, via Facebook, or via my email, John, J-O-N, @hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you want to say something to me, I would love to hear it. Good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. I'm totally game for hearing what your thoughts and opinions are on the show, on me, and on the questions. And I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a question that you've listened to like 92 episodes in a row, and you're just like, why doesn't he ask this one question that I would just love to hear? I don't know. Maybe you have one of those questions. Email me. Tell me. I'd love to hear it. I am open to everything, and I'm hoping the show is evolving into better and better and better questions as we go within the allotted time that we're allowed. And we're only allowed it because I don't think you want to waste a whole bunch of time. I don't think you want to waste 45 minutes or an hour listening to my one show. I want shorter shows if I can, and I don't want that host that just rambles on like I'm doing right now. All right, this has been fun. I thank you so very, very much. I truly do. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.